just when you think she's out of your life, she pops back up. It's like shingles. Or worse, the Clintons. Just can't get rid of those people. But they have an ointment for shingles. What are they gonna do? Some kind of a spray for the Clintons. What's that smell? It's the Clintons.
Come under no rocks. We didn't have no tails. We didn't come from monkeys. You atheistic pinko meathead.
Be sure to listen to the car salesman. He's your friend and he's there to help.
What a maroon. What an ignoranimous.
This is odd.
That's messed up.
Thank God it's Friday.
Oh, yeah. Thank God it's Friday. Welcome into the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here. You're sometimes, but certainly not always, humble host, driving the big crazy bus that is the Daily Perspective podcast. Thank you so much for joining the show here live on Facebook. And I try to do this every morning at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, sometime late in the afternoon in the UK. Who knows what time it is in Hawaii. At any rate, here we are on a daily basis, as frequently as humanly possible in my little life. And I'm glad you're here. Thanks so much for listening. And if you're not live with us, if you're sometime in the future, thanks to time shifting and podcasting, thanks for being there. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for being on board with the show. I do appreciate it more than you probably know. I really do. Well, it is Friday. I'm having a lot of trouble this morning taking things as seriously, I think, as they need to be taken. I just have to be honest with you right up front. I'm just happy it's Friday. It's just one of those days. I'm glad it's Friday. It's been yesterday for me was a crazy busy day. It was so busy, in fact, and I had so much. The only explanation is that my brain is really small because it just doesn't hold much. Part of that was that I actually forgot to click the record button yesterday morning, so I didn't get the podcast up as early as I like to. I like to get that podcast up around 9 o'clock or sooner if I possibly can. Actually. More like 9:30, I should say, but because I just like to have it ready to go, and it drops at 10 a.m. Central, and it's available on iTunes and on the Google Podcast Store or Google Podcast app, and of course through the website markandmacshow.com and markcongleton.com, and yeah, I like to have it there. But for some reason yesterday, on the application that I use to record everything that happens, I didn't click record. Normally, I do that a couple of minutes before we get started just to get the ball rolling. But for some reason, well, yesterday, because my brain is small, I had a brain fart and it just didn't happen. So I had to retrieve the recording of the Facebook Live show. And as a result, it took some time. It took that took 5 or 6 minutes to download, and then I had to open that in a program that would open video and extract the audio, and then trim the audio, and then re-upload, and yada yada yada, and the process got started right before I had to leave the studio here to take care of some things, and I was gone until around 2 p.m. And then when I got back, I had other things to do, which were pressing on my little brain, and continued to forget about. I just totally forgot about things until I got back out again late in the afternoon, and I met my wife, my sweet wife Jane, to grab some Chinese food for dinner, because what your wife wants, your wife gets. And we, while we're sitting there, I'm looking across the table at her, and I've got my phone out, and I'm actually working. I'm dealing with business while I'm sitting there, which is not good, guys. Don't do this. But I had something that was kind of bubbling yesterday and had to be handled, and that's what consumed a lot of my day yesterday. But I remembered, you know how, you know, and I know you know this, you'll be working on something, and then out of left field, you'll go, "Oh no." It's like Brian Regan waking up the morning the science project is due. "Oh no." I realized that I downloaded the podcast, but I'd never processed it to upload it again for podcast distribution. So that was the first thing that happened when I got home a bit after 7 o'clock last night. So that's why the podcast was late getting to you. If you're a subscriber, that's why it was late yesterday. And I apologize, but you know, hey, speaking of projects that were going on the site, I just want to mention a friend of mine and of Dave's, a friend of the show for years upon years upon years. And that's Scott Dawson. He ran for governor last year. I worked for Scott for 10 years as his director director of technology. That was my title. Yeah. I was a director of technology, which basically meant I was the guy who knew how to replace the batteries in your wireless mice. Anyhow, I oversaw all kinds of stuff. If it had to do with the web, if it had to do with AV, things like that, I was the contact person. And anyway, I took care of a lot of stuff like that. And so Scott has started a new podcast. It's called Dawson Now. I suggest you look it up, Dawson Now, and it's going to be a weekly podcast, and he has some really interesting people. He started out with Andy Andrews in his first show, and next week he has Mac Powell, who was lead singer of Third Day for, I don't know, 600 years, and he's got a couple of more, and yesterday he released one that's just hey, this is what this show is all about. Just sort of an ABCs of why he's doing the show and what the show is for. But it's available on iTunes. It's available in the Google Podcast app. If you are a savvy, long-time podcast person, then you're familiar with Libsyn. It's also on Libsyn. That's where it's hosted. So look up Dawson Now. You can go to DawsonNow.com and you'll find the links to the current shows there and the links to subscribe and everything. But just a friendly pitch to a good old friend of mine. He's doing a show. He's getting it kicked off. And I went to visit his studio last week. Okay, yeah, I have some serious studio envy because he's got a really, really, really nice studio. And it won't be long before he's actually got cameras and everything. He's set up to do a video podcast, which is just awesome. So we're talking about how that all works, the technology and methodology and stuff like that. But it won't be long before he's actually up doing a vidcast, a video podcast of Dawson Now. It's just he's got something. I think he's got the bones of something that's potentially really good there. So go ahead and get in when everything starts and start listening from the beginning. And you'll be one of those who'll be able to say years from now, yeah, I have been listening since the very beginning. And I remember when it was like this, because it's only going to get better as time goes by. And no, I really am jealous of his studio. But hey, I have wood paneling too. But I don't have my name carved out of metal hanging behind me. That brings up another topic, and that is that I was looking at comments from the show the other day, and someone, I don't remember who, I don't remember your name, I just remember looking at the comments and somebody saying, all I see is the logo, I just hear sound and the look. It's because it's not a video podcast. It's on Facebook Live, and there is a camera, and I guess, hang on here, let me look and see if I've got... Is the camera there? Yeah, the camera's there. So if I pull the camera up, let me tilt things around so that the camera actually picks me up and move my microphone over here. And so what you get to see, if I pull the camera up, like right now, you get to see me wearing my Toy Story t-shirt and my ball cap and my reading glasses and all of the junk behind me and everything, because the studio is just a wreck right now because I've been working on things. Oh, and that over my shoulder over there, that's my rowing machine, and you see the sound deadening stuff back there and all that. And so, but that's the studio. That's the reason I don't do video. Bye. I'm not set up for it. So that's it. It's an audio podcast. So so that's the whole thing. I just don't, I'm just not doing it now because I'm not set up for it. I don't have the lights. I don't have the backdrop. I don't have the whole nine yards. I'm just here. Like I said before, I'm just here doing my thing in the studio, minding my own business, looking like an old guy with a gray beard, doing the commentary on life, the universe, and everything. And no, it's not the number 42. At any rate, that's it. Moving along, I posted something on social media that has been getting a pretty good amount of feedback, and that's this. It's called Understanding Democrat Terms. And it's a quick list, so let's run them down. If you want to know what Democrats mean when they say certain things or certain terms, this is what they mean. Number one, democratic socialism. That's socialism. It's just socialism. Democratic socialism is the process of allowing the people to vote to institute socialism in the country and then ignoring them from then on. That's what democratic socialism is. Toxic masculinity. The translation? Straight white male. That's what it means. And I have a story. I have a story kind of about that coming up in the near future here. Political correctness. That means controlling speech. In other words, we will control what you say. You will be allowed to say certain things and not allowed to say other things. Yeah, big brother. The next term is assault weapon. Assault weapon means any gun. But it's just those semi-automatic, you know, those weapons of war, you know, the AR-15. No. What it boils down to is any gun, because eventually that's what they'll want to take from you, is any gun. The term identify as, in other words, well, I identify as a woman. No, that means you are pretending to be whatever you identify as. Pro-choice. That means legalized murder. I can't joke about that. That's what that is. The term undocumented. It means illegal or new voter. News reporting equals liberal talking points. And if you don't think so, just do a little quick research on the web and you'll see. You'll see that you will see certain phrases repeated again and again and again in the talking head media. These people are saying things like, well, this is a very concerning development. And then you will see from ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, you'll see time and time and time and time again the hosts of the talking head shows using the same terms. So news reporting today is liberal talking points. Climate change. You know how I see climate change. I see it as a tremendous scam. In this list, the definition for climate change is another tax opportunity. Absolutely true. The term inequality. What does it really mean? It means your money should be theirs. And finally, racist, fascist, Nazi. All three of those terms, they all mean the same thing. Anybody who disagrees with a liberal, that's what those terms mean. What a great list. The stuff you find on the interwebs is just amazing sometimes. Also, speaking of the internet, I was looking at Twitter just a little while ago, and a couple of tweets popped out. Newt Gingrich, if you don't follow Newt Gingrich, you should. He tweeted earlier this morning, or actually it was a little bit earlier yesterday. Given the consistent dishonesty of Adam Schiff's comments, his security status should be revoked, and the executive branch should refuse to share any intelligence with the House committee as long as he is on it. Mr. Newton nails it. Once again, I might add, he nails it because Adam Schiff has been lying to the American people. He has declared on multiple news programs that he has conclusive evidence of collusion and other nefarious acts by Donald Trump and has never produced anything. And the Mueller report contradicts him. Coincidentally, Chuck Woolery tweets, I once had a wife who constantly accused me of cheating on her. I was always on the defensive. I never did it. I just couldn't figure out why she was so adamant about it. only later to find out that she cheated on me with many others on a regular basis. She was accusing him of what she was doing. So Adam Schiff and the rest of the Democrats are accusing Trump of things they are most likely doing. More to come as the Daily Perspective continues. The Friday somewhat loose edition of the Daily Perspective. I need more coffee. It is the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Hi there. Mark Congleton here with you, keeping you company as the tunes roll. No, it's not about the tunes. Oh, speaking of tunes, what you're not aware of in the behind-the-scenes world of doing this podcast is that from time to time I get a little flag from Facebook during the Facebook Live version of things, and they warn me, you're using this particular song, and unless you actually have the rights, the permission to use this song, then we need to delete or silence this portion of your recording. So, you podcast listeners, you get everything regardless. But if you happen to look later at the posted recorded version of the Facebook Live, because it gets posted online every day, if you're listening to that or watching that later on and you hear everything go quiet for several seconds, it's because Facebook clamps down on things. One of those particular tunes is the theme music, is Perfect World by Huey Lewis and the News. And that's the most frequent one. I got another warning this week. And that happens when I let it run long enough for their algorithms to pick up what the song actually is without talking over it. They turn down and start talking and turn the music down and start chatting. And if it runs for the correct number of seconds, then bang, they'll nail it and they'll silence that part of the program. So if you happen to click through and watch a Facebook live recording, then from time to time you get a little bit of silence. And I just wanted to explain that. And also, because of that, and that also happens with the bumper music, the stuff coming in and out of the breaks from time to time. But most often it happens with the theme music. Because of that, I'm searching for something else to use. I like the Huey Lewis tune, but that's not a hill I'm going to climb up and die on. So I'm going to probably find something else to use. And Facebook, they're nice enough to provide a big library of songs, instrumental and otherwise, for your Facebook Live use. So I'll go look through their library and see if there's anything that doesn't sound like some small town local talk show, because this is not a small town local talk show. All right. Okay. Let's see. Where are we going here? Yeah, that's where we're going. Aren't you glad I'm driving the bus? Charles Barkley, Sir Charles. He says there's going to be some repercussions for the Jesse Smollett hoax. He says we all lose. Basketball champ Charles Barkley, no friend of political correctness when it comes to race relations, said the Jussie Smollett hoax will have serious repercussions for years to come on American discourse. This is coming to us from Fox News. Speaking with Stephen Colbert on Wednesday, Barkley said that everyone will lose over Jussie Smollett allegedly faking his own hate crime and then being cleared of all charges without a day in court. Quote, I think that we all lose. I think my black friends, my gay black friends, I think they lose because there's all repercussions when you're a minority. There's always a double standard. You have to understand that and accept that. For every black gay person out there, we lost. And it's unfortunate. I don't know that kid. I wish him nothing but the best, but you always have to look at the bigger picture. We made the cops look really bad in this scenario, and there's probably going to be some resentment, Barkley said. And the bottom line is, everybody lost in this scenario. It's not good. And he's right, because what happened in the Jussie Smollett scenario was someone in power stepped in and and made it disappear. But they made it disappear after everybody had seen it. The police investigated, and because the police do this for a living, they realized very quickly, within about 24 hours, that this guy was lying to them, that he had staged the entire thing. And now, because a buddy of the Obamas stepped in and made a couple of phone calls, it all just goes away. And he's trying to play the hero. I'll always stand against this kind of stuff. You know what? The police found. They found the stuff. They found the bleach. They found the rope. They found the stuff in the apartment of these two guys. These two completely not white guys. Now they're saying, oh yeah, they used whiteface. How stupid do you think we are? Well, Tucker Carlson over at Fox News had a little bit to say about that the other night. This is going to run about 7 or so minutes, but it's long, but it's really worth listening to because he nails it. Listen to this. Come on, Tucker. You know, I'm clicking the button and Tucker's doing nothing. That's just nuts. Nice buildup, Mark. You gave Tucker Carlson the chance, and he dropped the ball. Nice. And it's not like I wasn't prepared. I actually sat down, spent the time. I queued it up. I watched. I made sure everything was going to run right, and then now nothing. That's just awesome. Isn't that just awesome? I'm looking at my clock. I'm checking my time. I'm trying to make sure. And now, there's not enough time before the break. Nice. Man. So maybe we'll do it after the break. How about that? But Tucker Carlson's view on this is just, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. He nails it. And the reason I want to play it is because he wraps everything up into a nice little bundle that's about 7 minutes long. And after the break, I'll play it for you, okay? But the break is about 5.5 minutes away. And I'll stop that. No. Wow. That's crazy. Stop. I'm trying to get it queued back up again, and it's just not cooperating with me. At any rate, we'll take a look at that in just a few minutes. You would think, with everything going on, with the Mueller report coming in, and it finding no collusion, and honestly, it's finding that there wasn't any obstruction either, when you really get down and look at the details of what the report that we have on it, You realize that the Democrats are barking up the tree. They continue to bark up this tree with nothing up the tree. Well, even Representative Maxine Waters has got enough sense, apparently, on the surface, to admit there's no longer any point in chasing impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump. Now, you remember, Maxine Waters made a name for herself leading the anti-Trump resistance in Congress, even to the point of encouraging her supporters to confront members of the Trump administration whenever they saw them out and in public. She repeatedly called for impeachment. You remember how she went on and on and on about Impeach 45, remember? You remember.
Impeach 45!
How could you forget this?
Impeach 45!
Yeah, that's right.
Impeach 45!
Even before the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation had concluded, she told Politico her priorities have changed. Quote, I think we do nothing now but concentrate on getting the information, getting that report. That's what she told Politico. Now, please understand, the left is demanding that this report be released, not only to Congress, but to the public. They're demanding it. And the reason for that is because they want to be the interpreters of what it says. They want to tell you what it says because they know that the vast majority of people will start reading the report, if they do. If they start reading the report, they will get into it just a little ways and all of the legal speak will blur their brains and they'll stop. They won't want to dig in to find out what it really says. So what they'll do is they'll turn to their interpreters to tell them what it says. That's what the left knows will happen. So they want this released so that they can be the arbiters of truth in the report. They want to be able to tell people what the report really says. They want to be able to say that Barr's summary of the report that was released was biased because he was appointed by Trump, and they're going to tell you the truth about the report. When, in fact, the same people who lied to you for over 2 years about collusion and obstruction are the people who want to do the truth-telling. The liars want to be the arbiters of truth. Now, if that makes you want to pull your hair out, you're in good company, because a lot of intelligent people are looking at this and seeing it for what it is. It's a scam. Just one more in a long list by the left. They want this report in their hands so that they can tell you what it really means. And I think you are smart enough to know they're going to lie to you. Of course they are. They've spent the past couple of years lying to you about Trump. They've misrepresented him at every turn. They have gone on every talking head show that they can get into. They've stood in front of every TV camera they can. They've sat in every radio studio they can. They've been interviewed by every publication they can. And they have repeatedly lied to you about Donald Trump. And now, even before the election, they lied. There's no chance. There's no chance he can defeat Hillary. He doesn't hold a chance. Even Election Day, they were doing that. Think about that, swaying the minds of voters. This is The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. You're there. A pretty good arrangement because the dog's in the other chair. You couldn't get in here anyway. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood. It's the Friday edition of the Facebook Live broadcast. And if you're listening to this in the future, Friday was okay. How is your day? All right. I think I have the technical problem solved with the Tucker Carlson video. And I was chewing up too much bandwidth because I still had the camera up. Anyway, I'd like you to hear what he has to say about the Jussie Smollett situation, because what he has to say, even though it's about 7.5 minutes long, he nails everything. He hits it point after point after point. And these are things that many things I've said throughout this week, as well as other things I just haven't said that I heard and went, wow, that's right. Glad you said that. So let's see if
tonight, just hours there he ago, is. Prosecutors in Chicago dropped all charges against actor Jussie Smollett. Smollett, you'll remember, was facing 16 felony counts for faking an elaborate hate crime against himself back in January. Police say Smollett hired two Nigerian bodybuilders to hang a noose around his neck, pour bleach on him, and scream, "This is MAGA country," because that kind of thing happens a lot in downtown Chicago during the winter months. Smollett then told credulous reporters he had been assaulted by two white racist Trump supporters. Well, as of tonight, police still believe that Smollett was lying about all that. So do prosecutors. They think he concocted the hoax, and they said so yet again today. And yet the state of Illinois is somehow, for some reason, dumping case anyway. In exchange for the $100,000 he has already paid in bond, Smollett will walk free. His record will be expunged. Everything will return to normal like it never happened. Smollett described this decision as a victory, not just for him, but for the broader cause of civil rights.
I've been truthful and consistent on every single level since day one. I would not be my mother's son if I was capable of one drop what I've been accused of. This has been an incredibly difficult time, honestly one of the worst of my entire life. But I am a man of faith, and I'm a man that has knowledge of my history, and I would not bring my family, our lives, or the movement through a fire like this. I just wouldn't. Now I'd like nothing more than to just get back to work and move on with my life. But make no mistakes, I will always continue to fight for the justice, equality, and betterment of marginalized people everywhere.
Uh-huh. Okay, a couple of pretty obvious questions here. What is this movement Smollett refers to? Is he in contact with other perpetrators of fake hate crimes? Have they formed a union? They hold a convention? There are enough of them, they could. How exactly has Smollett, who last we checked was an actor on a TV show, fought for the, quote, justice, equality, and betterment of marginalized people everywhere? Was pouring bleach on himself part of that fight? How do the Noose and the Nigerian bodybuilders figure into Smollett's struggle for justice and equality? And by the way, why aren't the rest of us laughing at this? It is just too absurd. CNN doesn't think it's funny. They're taking Smollett very seriously. They always have. Jeff Zucker's tiny spokesman emerged this afternoon to declare the whole thing an unfathomable mystery of faith, like a shroud of Turin. We may never know.
The narrative has once again changed from victim, to villain, back to victim. It's been very confusing. As Ryan was saying, people don't know what to believe, and we may never really know what happened on the street in Chicago.
We may never really know. So it looks like we're going to have to agree to disagree on this whole Jussie Smollett thing. But wait, does anyone know any news reporters? They should have some free time these days, post-Russia hysteria. Maybe they could find out more about this. For example, why isn't Jussie Smollett concerned about the two white racists he says attacked him? Shouldn't he be leading the charge to lock these villains up? According to Smollett, they're still in the loose. They're free to assault other hapless biracial TV actors who are just looking to get a Subway sandwich at 2 a.m. in the morning on the streets of Chicago. And we need to stop them before they do. And what about the Chicago Police Department? It's led by an African-American chief, but that doesn't mean it's not part of the wider racist conspiracy. It must be. Chicago cops just framed Jussie Smollett as a liar and destroyed his reputation. And for some reason, Smollett doesn't seem to care about it. He says he just wants to, quote, move on. That's odd. And the Nigerian brothers. Last month, both CNN and the Chicago Tribune reported the men had told police they'd rehearsed the attack on Jussie Smollett. Was that a lie? Will Smollett sue them now for defamation? Other outlets reported the police discovered rope, bleach, masks in the brother's apartment. Apparently, Smollett's phone records show he was talking to the brothers immediately before and immediately after the attack, he alleged. What was that all about? Well, we could go on and on, but why bother? You know what's happening here. Smollett isn't getting off because he's innocent. He's not innocent. He's something better than innocent. He's famous. The charges against him were dropped because someone in power called someone else in power and said, let him go. None of this had anything to do with justice. It's the opposite of justice. Even in famously corrupt Chicago, what was happening was just too obvious. The mayor and the chief of police pretended to be very shocked by it.
Yeah.
If you want to say you're innocent of a situation, then you take it in court. I would never, if someone falsely accused me,
watch this video, it's obvious these guys have rehearsed this.
Where is the accountability in the system? You cannot have, because of a person's position, one set of rules apply to them, and another set of rules apply to everybody else. In another way, you're seeing this play out in the universities, where people pay extra to get their kids a special position in universities. This is a whitewash of justice.
A whitewash of justice. So how did the state's attorney, who dropped these charges, answer that? Well, she issued a statement explaining that the charges were dropped in part because of his, quote, volunteer service in the community. Okay, what exactly was that service? Well, according to an account tonight, Smollett spent a total of 18 hours over 2 days at Jesse Jackson's lobbying organization, the Rainbow Bush Coalition. While he was there, Smollett spent his time, and this is a direct quote, stuffing membership envelopes, working in the group's bookstore to sell merchandise, and critiquing its Saturday broadcast.
Wow.
He also, quote, worked with the music director on playing with the choir. Apparently, the community was greatly enriched by all of this. We should note that Jesse Jackson, who runs it, is one of the most politically powerful people in the city of Chicago. It helps to have friends like that. And if you don't believe it, just go ahead and try it yourself. Go ahead and stage a fake hate crime in which you slander an entire group of people on the basis of their skin color and political beliefs. Then head over to Good Morning America and conduct a tearful interview with the sympathetic Robin Roberts. Describe yourself as a victim of systemic racism in this country. And then get caught doing it. Tell us how you do. Then let us know when the visiting hours are. We'll come see you in prison.
Whoa.
Smollett's not going to prison. He was smarter than that. He knew he would never be punished. He knows Jesse Jackson. He's friends with Kamala Harris and Barack and Michelle Obama. Don Lemon at CNN texts Jussie all the time on his cell phone and brags about it. Jussie Smollett may claim to fight for marginalized people, but he is not one of them. In fact, he occupies the highest rank of privilege in our society. He's above the law. Increasingly, there seem to be quite a few people like that in this country. You'll recognize them because they're the ones always lecturing you about how bigoted and unfair America is. What they don't understand is that they are proving that point.
And there we have it. Like I told you, it's about 7.5 minutes. Tucker Carlson addresses the issue, pardon me, and spells it out, I think, very, very clearly. This is a guy who is connected, Jussie Smollett, who's connected. And oh, I have to say, I laugh every time Tucker Carlson refers to Don Lemon as Don Lemon. He insists on pronouncing his name as Lemon. He has no respect for the guy. Oh, but Jussie Smollett, when you look at this situation, you understand he's gotten off. He's had his record expunged because of his fame and the people he knows. And as I said yesterday, this is the argument the left is constantly making about the right. They're constantly demonizing people on the right for their white privilege. They're demonizing people on the right for their ability to get a fair day in court when people of color cannot. And what we see here, well, and that and wealth has a lot to do with it. And what we see here is that this actually does go on, and it goes on the left. Jussie Smollett and the people with whom he is connected are running their own little legal judicial system. It's important for them to take care of somebody like Jussie Smollett because he's on their side and he's high profile. He's connected. He's connected to Jesse Jackson. He's connected to the Obamas. He's connected. His sisters campaigned for Obama. He's connected. He's wealthy. He's famous. And he knows the right people. And he's a progressive. So, he gets the preferential treatment. The preferential treatment that progressives say only rich white people get. Just remember that when the news media tells you or tries to tell you that Jussie Smollett didn't do this, that the police department is up in arms. Now, I jumped in during the video and commented on the, when you see the video, it's fairly clear that these guys, I said they've rehearsed this. They clearly had their talking points. They clearly had what they had to say. And Rahm Emanuel is a seasoned liar. So he stepped out in front of the public and pretended to be bothered by what happened. I wouldn't be surprised if he was part of what happened, actually. And the police chief, at one point, locked his gaze, into the distance and didn't make eye contact with anyone as Rahm Emanuel was speaking. It was almost like he was a robot or brainwashed. It was really strange looking. More when the Daily Perspective continues. This is the Daily Perspective. I am Mark Congleton. And that over there is Princess the Wonder Dog. It is a Friday edition of the program. Good to have you along today. Hopefully, you're having a good day wherever and whenever you may be. I have to laugh. I keep a lot of tabs in the browser open during production of the show, and one of them is Twitter. And I was just looking at Twitter, and there's somebody who goes by the handle of Steffi Gal. She posts, CNN is now pinning the Smollett criminal hoax somehow on Trump. They're beyond help at this point. Wish they'd chase aliens and missing planes again. Oh, that's just awesome. Thank you so much. I really, really needed a laugh because life is so weird nowadays. Speaking of weird, Duke University got caught red-handed. They have to repay the federal government and have agreed to do it, $112.5 million, that's a million with an M, dollars as part of a settlement after a lawsuit alleged the university used fake research to secure $200 million in federal research grants. Wait, they got $200 million. They're paying back just a touch over half of it? Where do I get that kind of loan? That's what I want. The settlement naturally means the federal government will not recoup the full cost of the fraudulent grants, but at least Duke, or their insurer, has been hit in the pocketbook. The lawsuit was filed by Joseph Thomas, a former lab analyst who said Duke used allegedly falsified data from researcher Aaron Potts-Kant to secure the grants and then covered up the fraud. Potts-Kant had allegedly altered data relating to her research in Duke's pulmonary, allergy, and critical care department, according to the Duke Chronicle. She admitted to charging or changing data in experiments she had run on mice lungs, the lungs of mice. Why wouldn't they phrase it that way? Experiments she had run on the lungs of mice. Okay. The Chronicle reported that more than 12 scientific papers authored by Potts-Kant have been retracted since her alleged fraud was discovered. President Vincent Price at Duke University. I thought Vincent Price was dead. You know, the old guy in the horror movies, Vincent, obviously a different guy. He says, this is a difficult moment for Duke. This case demonstrates the devastating impact of research fraud and reinforces the need for all of us to have a focused commitment on promoting research integrity and accountability. You know, there used to be a day, sometime in the past, when you could actually trust medical research not to fudge the stats for whatever purpose, personal gain or whatever. There was something called integrity. And that seems to be something that's rarer and rarer today. That's how we get the whole climate change thing. That's how we get a lot of that's how we get a lot of the pop culture science, in quotes, science that we see today. It's because the agenda is more important than integrity. And it's sad. Very, very sad. Equally sad on college campuses is the insanity of leftism that's happening. The lunacy of the left with the bizarre courses and the majors offered. And as a result, some people going to school, picking a major in feminist aardvark studies, and then complaining about the patriarchy and all of the things that are just evil and unfair. Western patriarchy, that's what's wrong. I can't get a job because of Western patriarchy. But there's no call for what they studied for. It's an idiotic major. And you've got a degree in something that you'll never, ever, 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 ever use unless you're one of 12 people in the world who are actually in that field. Well, now, a professor at Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington, plans to host an event challenging students to analyze something. This is serious business now. Everybody pay attention. Challenging students to analyze if the Disney film Moana is actually about rape and not a strong young woman who saves her island from a curse. Danielle Lane, she's a professor of philosophy, of course, has scheduled the event at the Catholic College on Thursday. Apparently this was yesterday. To discuss whether the film is about sexual assault, the event is jointly sponsored by the university's Women and Gender Studies, because of course it is, and Native American Studies Department. According to Campus Reform, Lane is set to argue that the Western patriarchy and masculinity at large attack the feminine through the environment and cultural differences. The event will include a screening of the 2016 movie with a question and answer session to follow. A newsletter obtained by the outlet boasts, quote, Lane will advance a controversial thesis wherein she suggests the film is an extended rape metaphor. Lane will ultimately also suggest that the film is neo-colonialist, i.e., it advances a new myth that scapegoats Maui, excusing Western culture from oppressing women, degrading the environment, and erasing/murdering indigenous people. In a statement, this loony Lane told the outlet that the event is part of a monthly retrospective analyzing a variety of films. Quote, this particular filmosophy, is a bit of research as I'm currently writing a pop culture piece on the film, and so I'm excited to see how all students, those who agree and disagree, respond to analyzing the movie, she explained. One person not on board is Gonzaga College Republicans President Olivia Johnson, who said, why do we have to ruin a cute children's movie that was obviously not made with the greater metaphor of rape? It seems as if this lecture is trying to find yet another way to blame the problems of the world on Western civilization and the patriarchy. Because, of course, that's what's happening. It's just another loony progressive nutcase who has a very, very loose grip on reality, trying to blame all the problems in the universe on people who disagree with her insanity. Because victimhood is what gives her life meaning. How sad is that? Victimhood. Oh, this is all about rape. That's what it's about. Everybody's a victim. Hop on the train, people. You're all victims. You know, in the universe of intersectionality, you're all victims. Everybody except white men. You can't be victims. You're excluded from membership in the club. You cannot be straight white men. I have to clarify that further, because if you're a gay white man, yes, you can join the intersectionality club and jump upon the victimhood train and be part of this big party of people feeling sorry for themselves and everybody else. Because, after all, we're all victims! I got to start wearing a helmet when I do this show. I'm telling you. The insanity some days. The movie Moana about rape. Here's what you need to do this weekend. Make it a point to rent this movie. If you have a copy of it, pop it in the player and play it. Go look at it on iTunes or wherever you get your media, and just enjoy the movie for the corny songs, the bad acting, and the sweet story. And just enjoy it. And enjoy your weekend. God bless you. Let's get together Monday, okay?